Rabbi, so I have today a chasana, a bar mitzvah, and a yeshiva dinner. So it's a little crazy day. So I just, we're going to be mashlim the sugya that we began last week. And I think we may just cut out a bit early. So going back again, we had a machloikis between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim on Daf Tes, whether you could do multiple tmuras in both directions. Could you do multiple tmuras from the original Hektish standpoint? Meaning, could you make tmura from many animals onto one or more? And can you do from one animal onto many animals? And in both cases, the Chachamim said you can. And Rav Shimon says, no, you cannot. It must be echod be'echod. We had a shaila in the Gemara as far as where Rav Shimon gets his drasha, and we were medayik what seemed to have been that according to Rav Shimon, logically he holds like the Chachamim. Logically, you should be able to do tmura onto or from multiple behemoths, but he holds that the pasuk, v'hoyahu tmurasai, excludes that. And we said that the way the Gemara reads, the Chachamim seem to hold the opposite. They seem to hold in logic. Logically, you should not be able to make multiple tmuras, but there's a pasuk of behemoth rabba. There's a ribui, from there we learned that you could do multiple tmuras. And that's what we were dealing with last week, as well as the machlokes between Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish. Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish have a machlokes here, whether, according to Rav Shimon, the concept that you can't be do tmura from one onto multiple animals, is that only, or on one animal multiple times, is only if you're doing it bevas achas. But what happens if you do tmura once, then you do tmura again, you do tmura again? So Rish Lakish said what seemed to be the Poshut Svara, that Avada, it works, even according to Rav Shimon, because technically, once you did tmura once, you're back to where you started. You have the first animal that you started with, you did tmura, the Aloch is the first animal, stays the same. And it gets stigmatized. The Torah said, V'hoyu tmura sayyia kodesh. The Torah said that the first animal remains kodesh. There's no reason to say that this animal has any kind of stigma. Oh, it can't do tmura. Only a new animal has to do tmura. And therefore, the Rish Lakish says what seems to be logical, that you cannot tell me that according to Rav Shimon, there's a limitation on multiple tmuras. You can keep on doing tmura. You could do 1,000 tmuras on the same animal as long as you're doing it in separate actions. You do tomorrow once, then you do tomorrow again. The only objection Rav Shimon has is when you're trying to create multiple tomorrows at the same time. So really, Rav Shimon's limitation is in the act of tomorrow. The act of tomorrow has to be one-on-one. That's the game, one-on-one. It can't be two-on-two. But that's only in the tomorrow game. As long as the tamura is an individualized tamura, it could be done redundant many, many, many times. Rav Yechon, Rav Shlakish explained this shita. Rav Shlakish explained this shita very clearly. He said, Kedusha shebo l'heichon holach. The Kedusha is right back. Why shouldn't I be able to do tamura again? That's Rav Shlakish. Rav Yechon gives no explanation to his shita. He just says, I hold you can't do that. I hold that once you do tamura once, according to Rav Shimon, you can't do tmura, keep on going. So that's what we were dealing with last week. What is the svara between, A, what's the machlokes between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim? That number one. And number two, after we understand the machlokes between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, what's the machlokes between Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish? Rish Lakish's opinion seems to be very clear. And Rav Yechon's opinion seems to be big, tzarachian. Why would it be that once you did tmura once, you can't now rehash the tmura again and again and again? Why shouldn't you be able to do it? You're back to step one. Now I'm doing again an individualized tmura. So I'm going to read quickly the Shailah above it, and then we'll go to Dav Yud, and we'll just come to a conclusion here. So the Shailah Rav Avin has is whether the din that we have, that you can't do Tumura twice, right? So his Shailah is going L'chayra. It's going according to Rav Yechanan, according to Rav Shimon. Because according to the Chachamim, you could do multiple Tumuras, even in one shot. You cannot. According to Reish Lakish, you could do Tumura multiple times, according to Reish Shimon, as long as you do it in one shot. You could do Tumura once, then Tumura again, then Tumura again. One consecutively, one after the other, is not a problem. It's only you can't do it in one shot. We also don't have a question. Rav Avin is coming now, according to Rav Yechanan, who says you cannot do multiple Tumuras. And you cannot do Tumura one after the other. According to him, can you in fact make a Tumura after the Kedusha was already transferred? That's his Shaila. So this is what this copper boy. Person went ahead and they were mafresh and oshem to get a kapor. They were chayav a korban oshem. And then the hamer boy. They did tamura. That's a classic tamura. So again, according to Rav Shimon, according to Rav Yechon, according to Rav Shimon, that's it. No tamura can be activated again. You did the one-time tamura, that's it. So now you have a korban oshem that you did tamura that is finished for life. It cannot never do tamura again. What happened one now was Vuhuma. Gadamu. So now you can't bring it for a carbon ashram anymore. Now you need another carbon. So you went ahead, Vichiloy al Acher. You took the Kedusha from this animal, this ashram, and you put it onto another ashram. Okay? And now that animal got lost. So you're by animal number three. Animal number one, you did Tamura, then it got a mum. So you went and took the Kedusha from animal one and put it onto animal two. Animal two, nothing happened to it, to the animal itself, but it got lost. So you need another ashram. So now you went, you mechaper with another ashram. Now, vinitik loyla, now you find the first one. Okay, so there's three animals. Now why he needed three animals is very, very difficult. The Rishonim don't explain why he needed three animals. We'll see in the Gemara, we understand why he needed two animals. Three animals is very difficult. So his story here is a complicated story. Animal number one, you did Tamura. Then it got a mum. Put the Kedusha onto animal two. Animal two got lost. Picked animal three. Now you shechted animal three for an Asham. Now you find animal two, which was an Asham. But since the animal number two was an Asham that you already took care of, because you already took the third carbon and brought it, so animal two now is just extra. So the halacha is, it's a three-way machlokes tanoim. We're going now, it's nitik lo'ila, becomes an oil tzibur. And now he wants to know, can you do tamura from animal two? Okay? Why not? The reason why not is because animal two got its kedusha from animal one, which has already used up its tamura abilities. Right? Animal one, you did tamura, then it got a mum. So it lost its ability now to go on to make more tamuras, right? But what happened was, now that it got a mum, you moved over the Kedusha onto animal two. You moved the Kedusha onto animal two, so now you, at that point for some reason, we're not analyzing, you should be able to do tamura. L'chayr, we should analyze already, you should be able to do tamura. Now it's a new animal. But at this point, he's not clearing that. Now that animal got lost and you got animal three. What does he gain by this? He gains that there are two different reasons to say that you should be able to do tamura. Okay? The reason why you can't do tamura, why you wouldn't be able to do tamura, is because the original asham was Kedusha was used up. Okay? Because let's not forget, The original Oshem is the thing that started this whole train. I had an Oshem number one. Oshem number one I did Temura from. Correct? Now, once I did Temura on Oshem number one, that Oshem number one lost its ability to do Temura. But now I have two milas. Because Oshem number two, which was originally in place of Oshem number one, has now turned into an oiler. Because I already used Oshem number three for my kapara. So Oshem number two has two advantages that Oshem number one didn't have. Oshem number one was the actual animal that I already did Temura on. That's one problem it had. And it had another issue. It was the original Kedusha that I established. Oshem number two, which is now turned into an oiler, has two separations, two mechitzas, between the original Oshem. Number one, it's a new animal. It's not the original animal. Number two, it's not even the original Kedusha. So it's separated from all sides from being able to produce Temura, from being able to be limited to Temura. So that's the Shai. And that's what the Gemara goes through. It got Temura. One second. It got Temura. Animal A, you did Temura too. So that's it. Now Animal A could no longer do Temura. One second. Animal A could no longer do Temura. Animal, you have Animal A. Okay, cow number one. Cow doesn't work here, but... Right? You have ox number one. Ox number one was an Oshel. Okay? You went ahead and did Temura. To an animal the other side, yeah. No. Animal number one. You did Temura to Plenty Amoni. Okay? Plenty Amoni's gone. Gone with the wind, whatever they did with it. Now, I'm still back to ox number one. Ox number one can't do Temura anymore. It's gone. Its ability to do Temura is gone, according to Rav Shimon, according to Rav Yechon, it's gone. Now, it got a mum. So now you moved over the Kedusha from, legally, not illegally, legally, you moved the Kedusha from that onto B. Animal B now is a kosher Oshem. The only thing is, it has a shtickel history. The history that it has is that the Kedusha is Oshem. That it has on itself came from an animal which no longer could you do Temura. So maybe it's possible that this animal B can't do Temura either. Because its yichus, its zeda, is given a litfak. Okay? It comes from somewhere where it couldn't do Temura. So now it also can't do Temura. Maybe. Now, that animal, animal two, got lost. So you have to be mafresh a third one. The third one you brought as an osho. So the story ended. You think the story ended, but now what happened was, Oshem 2 popped up. You found it. Oh, there he is. Shalom Aleichem. Now, Oshem 2 wants to know, who am I? So we say, listen, you're an oiler. Oshem is gone from you, because we already brought another Oshem in your place. So Machloik is Tanoim. Some Tanoim would send you to the gas chambers. Baruch Hashem, over here we're dealing with the Tana that says you can have, not Chaim Aruchem, but you can have Chaim as an oiler. Till they bring you as an oiler. Now we want to know, now Rav Ovin is saying, can this oiler do Temura? Because it has two advantages over the original. The original one that lost its ability to do Temura was an Oshem, and this is not an Oshem. This is an oiler. So maybe this new oiler has a new Metzias. That's number one. Number two, potentially we could say that this animal is a new animal. And maybe a new animal is a good enough of a reason to say that the lack of ability to do Temura is not here anymore. That's the Shaila. And we're not pushing the Shaila. Ultimately, the Gemara goes with the Shaila, a whole Amud of Gemara, back and forth with the Shaila, Lagabi this, Lagabi being Moisef for Chaimish. We know you're only out of, when you redeem Hektish back, you're only out of Chaimish the first time around. Question is, when you have this kind of scenario, is this called the first time around? Is it called something new? Is it called the old? Is it called the new? So this is an old shot. This Shiloh, whether this is the old or the new, remains an evolving issue until Dav Yud, which is where the Gemara goes through, whether we say something that has been turned over in two different ways. Number one, it's a new animal. Number two, it's a new kedusha. Does that make it have a new halach? Logic dictates avada should be a new thing. The Rishonim don't explain to us clearly why you would say you can't do tamura. This is brand new on any front that you want to talk about. This is brand new. Number one, it's a new carbon. It's a new animal. This animal doesn't know from nothing. You start telling the animal, well, I did nothing. I'm clean. That's number one. Number two, this is a new kedusha. I mean, the logic, the strength of that reasoning seems so strong. It's very unclear why the Gemara holds that there should be a problem here. Let us not forget, we're even going according to Rav Yeh, we're already stretching it. Because according to Reish Lakish, you could do it anyway, even with the original. As long as you do one after the other, you could keep on going anyway. According to the Chachamim, you could even do it in one shot. According to Rav Shimon, you cannot. But even according to Rav Shimon, one after the other, according to Reish Lakish, you can do. So we're going like Rav Yeh. Even according to Rav Yeh, you're talking about a new Kedusha and a new animal. What should be the problem? So that's the Gemara. So today, Mitzvah Shem, we'll get clarity, I hope, on that as well. Why, Taka, does the Gemara hold that there's reason to say that you shouldn't be able to do tomorrow? Well, there's no reason to say you shouldn't be able to do tomorrow. In Sfarah, you should be able to do tomorrow because this animal is new in every single dimension. The reason, the only thing that this animal has is that if not for the first Asham, it wouldn't be in the picture. The first Asham is the one that got us interested in bringing this animal into the picture. If not for the original Asham that got a mum, we wouldn't have invited this. This animal would still be in the corral grazing. Okay? The only reason why this animal is here in the picture and got into this complicated Kotshim Sugya is because of the Asham. It's true. But that's just I'm saying who cares? No. Exactly. No, but I'm just saying the only reason why this animal has any shaychus to anything here, I'm just saying what shaychus it has. The only reason why this animal has any shaychus to us saying that it can't do tamura is because if not for that original animal that you can't do tamura with, you wouldn't have this in the picture. That's true. But the fact is that this animal now is totally independent. It has its own, it's number one, it's an independent animal, it's a new animal. And number two, it's an independent kedusha. And there's really almost nothing of that old, original animal that can't do tamur that's in this animal. This animal has no shaychus to it. Except for the fact, the only shaychus it has is, that if not for the older brother here, it wouldn't have been in the picture. The makdash we don't care about. I could be makdash 1,000 animals. If I'm makdish 1,000 animals, I could do tamura on all of them. The limitation is not on the gavra, the limitation is on the chefza. The fact that there's a limitation, you can't do tamura twice or three times or four times, is only because the animal lost its ability to do tamura again. But this new animal is totally new, which is what the Gemara says. Even if you're going to tell me that the Kedusha from animal A, right, went on to animal B, and I can't do tamura on animal B either, that's only if it's still an Asha. But if it's an Oila, clearly not the original Kedusha. So what's Shaychus? The whole thing is a Pella, is one big Pella. Why the Gemara holds, Bechlau, that there should be a reason that you can't do tamura? Why should you not be able to do tamura? No, this one is not from tomorrow. Forget the first one. This one is an oiler. This is clearly not. This is an oiler, right? I'm saying, but it's an oiler. It's clearly not the kedusha. It's clearly not the kedusha zoshim. I don't care what it is, but it's an oiler. So I have here an oiler. Why in the world would I say that this oiler can't do tomorrow? Because of the oshim, which it's not that animal and it's not that kedusha. Has no shaychus. The only shaychus it has is that if not for that original animal, I would have never invited it into the picture. So it got invited by mistake. But so what? What? Exactly. Exactly. Who cares? But if it would still be an Asham, then we could analyze and say, well, Lamaisa, it has the Kedusha from that animal that couldn't do Tmur anymore. So maybe that remains a stigma in the Kedusha's Asham. It's a stigma in the Kedusha. The question is, the fact that he can't do Tmur again, is that a stigma on the animal? Or is it a stigma in the Kedusha? Okay? But when now it's a new animal and a new Kedusha, there's no stigma. It's a total cleansing, ethnic cleansing. It's clean. There's no shaykhis to the original. It's totally clean. Why would you? Which is really how the Gemara explains the progress of the shayla. Number one, maybe once it's a new animal, even if it's the old kedusha, you could do tmura. There's a strong svara to that too. The Gemara says hafilu tim salayma that not, but here it's a new kedusha and a new animal. Why not? Okay, that's great. So why not? But yet the Gemara has two tzadim. One side is that you cannot. I want to know why that is. What's the shaila bechlal? Okay. Now we're going to go to Daf Yud. This captures the whole Daf Tesam and Beis. I just want to finish the sugya. Give Mitzvah Hashem next week. We're already going to go into the sugya of Espashtus, which is a fascinating sugya. Sugya of Kedusha spreading on the animal, which starts on Daf Yud Amar Aleph, the Mishnah. I just want to finish this last part because it's all connected. The Gemara says as follows. Boy Rami Bar Chama. Okay, we got it's like 2, 4, 6, 7 lines from the top. Boy Rami Bar Chama. Makdish Moisif Chaimish. Oy Mechaper Moisif Chaimish. Who adds the Chaimish? Does the Makdish add the Chaimish or does the Mechaper add the Chaimish? Meaning, you have two parties. You have a person who was makdish an animal. Reuven was makdish an animal. He was makdish an animal that Shimon should use. Okay, so Reuven was makdish an animal for Shimon. Shimon was chayev to bring an asham. So Reuven went and was makdish a carbon for Shimon. We want to know, and then the animal gets a mum, and you redeem it. So normally the owner of that animal, whoever the owner is, has to add a chaymish. The Gemara is a shayla, who adds a chaymish? So Gemara says, who adds a chaymish? Makdish moisiv chaymish, or mechaper moisiv chaymish? Is it the one who made it kadosh that adds the chaymish if he redeems it? Or is it the miskaper, the mechaper, the one who's getting the kapora? Omar rov, omar krov, imam makdish, yigal is besoy. The pasuk uses the lashon hamakdish. Makdish v'loy miskaper. The makdish does it and not the mechaper. Boy Rami Bar Chama. So it seems that the Torah attributes the ownership of this animal to the makdish. We have two parties. We have a party that's getting a kapara from this animal. We have a party that gave kedusha to the animal. It seems, on a very simplistic level, the shaila, who do we look at the baal hakarban? Who's the owner of this carbon? Because the owner is the one that has to add a chaymish. So we say the makdish is called the owner. Now we have a shayla lagabi tmura. Seems very strange. We should say the same thing. Whoever's the owner is the owner. So if the Torah is considering the owner the makdish, then he should also be the one that does tmura. Why does the Gemara see this as two shaylas? It's clear from the Gemara that the logic behind who's considered the owner legabi chaymish, adding a fifth, and who's considered the owner legabi tmura is two different questions. And there's logic, there's a logical reason to say there should be a difference. Why? The Gemara doesn't explain. The Gemara just says it has a shayla. Makdish oisa tmura imiskaper oisa tmura. Omar rove im kein motzinu shutfim tzibu v'shutfim oisim tmura. Rava says like this. He says, in Cain, he doesn't yet explain where he's coming from, but what he means to say is that if you're going to tell me that the Makdish is the one, just like Lagabi eating the fifth, go by the one that gave the Kedusha, not by the one who's going to benefit from the Kapora, If we're going to say the same thing by Tmura, that would mean that if you have 1,000 people that have a carbon, but one person was makdish it for them, you should be able to do Tmura. Because the Tmura is the one guy, not the 1,000 people. And we know that there's a halacha that a tzibur, carbon tzibur doesn't have Tmura. And if you're going to tell me that the owner of title is considered the one that was makdish it, then you're going to have a case of tzibur that could do Tmura. That's the Gemara's problem. It says the Gemara, came motzino tzibur v'shut v'maisim Tmura. What would be the case? Kigoin the shavu shliach lagdushi. They made a shliach to be makdish the carbon. Meaning, you have 1,000 people, and one guy went that was makdish the carbon for the 1,000 people. So that would be a case where you have one makdish, 1,000 people getting a kapara, you'd be able to do tomorrow. Take a tomet. Take a carbon tomet in the Beis HaMikdash. You have the gizbar going and giving kedusha for the tomet. The tomet is for Gans Klal Yisrael. He's giving kedusha to the tomet on behalf of all Klal Yisrael. Right? Now, really, the Gemara's kashis is obvious. Every carbon tzibur would have this metzias. Because every carbon tzibur, the tzibur doesn't go over makdish. There's one person that does it. Every carbon tzibur in the world, right? So the whole language of the Gemara is strange. The Gemara says, if you're going to go by the one who's doing the Kedusha, then I have a problem. A case where you have many people who make a shliach, like as though this is like an exceptional case. This is every carbon tzibur. Every carbon tzibur, Gans Klal Yisrael didn't come into the Beis HaMikdash to be makdish a carbon. The gizbar, they'll makdish a carbon for the whole tzibur. One person did it for everybody. What's the Gemara? The Gemara says, I have a problem because I have a case where you have a tzibur, kigoin, the shavu shliach l'kdushi. Which in fact, many of the Achronim ask on our Gemara, what's the Gemara's question? Ain't a chanami. Maybe in that case, a carbon tzibur could do tomorrow. The Gemara says, matzinu tzibur, maybe ain't a chanami. Maybe the regular din of tzibur that they can't do tomorrow is a classic tzibur, and this is a unique situation. A bunch of people tell one guy to do it for them. But really, the way I'm posing the question, the Gemara's question really isn't an isolated event. It's every carbon tzibur. Every case where you have a carbon tzibur, the classic case is you have one person being makdish the carbon on behalf of the entire tzibur. That's normal. That is the norm. What does the Gemara even mean? Another question is posed by Reb Kiva Eiger and the Machne Ephraim, and Imre Bina, many Achronim, which is that the sheet of the Maharit is that you can't make a shliach to be makdish something. If I go to somebody and I tell him, listen, I don't have time now to be makdish my animal. If you can please, I have a cow, I want to make it into a shlomim. Can you please go to my corral and take out shlomim? The Maharit says it doesn't work. Work, why? Mili loy mitzri l'shlich. You can't give over mili, you can't give words to a shlich. I can give shlich an act to do, I can't give a shlich words. It's nageh to Pesach. The Ran, in the beginning of Pesachim, in the Perek Aleph of Pesachim, has a shaila, if let's say you're going away for Pesach, you want to give a shlich the koyach to mevatel yochom. The Ran discusses it being a problem of mili loy mitzri l'shlich. Can't, Shulchan Aruch brings down the shaila. Shulchan Aruch actually holds you could give, tell somebody else to mevatel the chametz for you. The Maharit says you cannot. So Kiva Eiger says, what do you mean? It's the Farish of Gemara and Tamura. The Gemara here says, Kigoin the shavu shliach lagdushi. They made a shliach to be makdish. So it's clear in the Gemara that we're talking about a case of one person making hektish for somebody else. How could the Maharit say you can't do it? So I think the answer to the question is simple. This answers both of our questions. The answer is, that's a Dover Pashat. Of course. If you went over to a shlich, and you talk, if a guy went over, and he's being makdish, a shlich, you tell him, listen, I want you to be makdish my carbon for me, be a regular carbon shutfin. Because he's doing nothing. He's not a makdish. He's just doing the act. If I send a shliach to Makadosh and Isha, yeah, for me, who's the Makadosh? I am. The shliach's doing the act. I'm the Makadosh. I'm the one that's doing the Kiddush. He's my shliach. Yeah? You send the Rav to sell your chametz for you, for Pesach. Who's selling the chametz? You're selling the chametz. Who's the moicher? When I sit down with the goy, who's selling the chametz? I am. But I'm not doing, even though I'm doing the act, if we had the term, who's the moicher? You're the moicher. I'm facilitating it for you. You're the moicher. It's your chametz. You're the seller. And I come and I show that I'm authorized by you to sell your chametz. And now you're the seller. And he's the just the broker. I'm the guy in the middle, taking care of the documents. That's all I am. So that's the Torah. The Gemara never had a Havamina over here that if Reuven has a behemoth, okay, and he tells Shimon to be makdish that behemoth for him, that then Shimon would have the koyach to do tamura. Shimon's a nobody. Reuven is Sai the makdish and Sai the miskaper. Shimon is nothing more than the middle guy, the monkey in the middle. Literally the monkey in the middle, the koyach b'emtza. He's not doing anything. The Gemara Shiloh over here is different. The Gemara Shiloh here is that Shimon is being makdish his animal for Reuven. Now we have two distinguished parties. We have the miskaper. He has a front seat because he's the guy getting the kapora from the carbon. And there's another guy in the Mizrach Vant. He's the guy that's it's his behemoth. He's the nadvin. It's his animal. Now we have a question. Who has the ability to do tamura? The chosh of a nadvin, who's donating the animal, or the chosh of a miskaper, who's getting the kapora from the animal? But if you have, if it's my animal, I'm the one getting the kapora, it was just a monkey in the middle that I sent to go and... He's not. He has no shaykhis. He can go to tamura on my animal, which is my carb, my... Habonim bonai, habonis b'noisai, v'atzayim sayini, v'chashat v'chayi shalil. It's mine. There's nothing, you have no shaykhis. So the whole marit has no shaykhis to our Gemara. And that's why the Gemara didn't ask from a case of carbon tzibur. Because every case of carbon tzibur, the animal belongs to the tzibur. Doesn't matter if the guy in the middle said, okay, this animal should be a tumid. This is an oilless tumid for the tzibur. Because he's nobody, he's a gizbar. He's not a makdish and he's not a miskaper. He's a miskaper like we all are. He's not more of a miskaper than any of us. He's not more of a makdish than any of us. He's just a monkey in the middle. It's a regular carbon ashutfin. It's a regular carbon tzibur that doesn't do tamura. The Gemara Shaila is a very distinct Shaila. The Gemara Shaila is where you have Reuven, who's being makdish a carbon, his carbon, Reuven's carbon, for Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. So Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda are the ones that are getting the kapara. And Reuven is the one who's being makdish the carbon. And therefore, Reb Kivegas kasha from the Marit is not a kasha. The Marit is talking about a case where Shimon tells Reuven, go be makdish my carbon for me. So then Reuven is not authorized because the shlichus doesn't work. But if Reuven is being makdish his animal for Shimon, he doesn't need Shimon's authority. It's his animal. So there's no problem of mili lo mimsri l'shlich. That's the reason why in our Gemara, we don't have the problem of mili lo mimsri l'shlich, of the Marit, because the Marit's talking about one case and we're talking about another case. The Marit's talking about a case where Reuven is going to go and be makdish your animal for you. There, he can't become my messenger. It's only words. I can't give over words to him. If he's being makdish his animal for me, that's beautiful. There's no problem. That's the case of our Gemara. That's Pasha Pshat in our Gemara. The only issue, the only glitch in our Gemara is really a glitch that can be found in the Sfas Emes. And that is, why then does the Gemara call it shlichus? It's not even shlichus. That other Reuven is authorized because it's his animal. He doesn't need your authority to be makdish his animal. Push it. So it's not shlichus. So why is the Gemara even calling it shlichus? So for that we'll get back to what's pshat in the Gemara. Why the Gemara calls it shlichus? But the Gemara for some reason over here says that in this case there would be a shaila who does the tamura. Does the Makdish do the Tmura, or does the Miskaper do the Tmura? The Gemara concludes that the Miskaper does the Tmura. The Gemara buy it from a Pasuk. First of all, if you're going to tell me the Miskaper doesn't do Tmura, then the Tzibur should be able to have such a case where you have Tmura. Secondly, says the Gemara, V'oid, to Omar Av Nachman, Omar Av Huna, Tono Korbonai Lashem Al Nizrei Muvada Shetasig Yoda. It says by a Nazir that the Nazir brings his Korban for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Milvada Shetasig Yoda, from what he can afford, or except for what he can afford. Now this Pasuk normally means that the Torah is giving an allotment for a Korban Oil of a Yoyrit. Korban Oil of a Yoyrit means that you don't have to bring a behemoth. You could bring an oif. You could bring a mincha. Sometimes dalas, right? That means a korban that has different levels. Korban nazir doesn't work that way. Korban nazir is not a korban oil of a yoreh. It's a chatas kavua. So the Gemara is saying, what do you mean? What does the Torah mean when it says that the nazir is bringing what he can afford? It's not true. Nazir has to bring the same korban. The Gemara says it must be talking about. Other people will mafish a carbon on his behalf. That's the case. It can't be a carbon oil of the yard, which is the classic interpretation of Ashatasig Yadoi. Here, the classic interpretation doesn't work. It must mean this case. Says, what's the common the Chiddush of the Torah? Somebody brought a carbon and was mafish for the Nazir. Of course, why shouldn't that work? Of course it works. Elah must be lenient Mura. The Torah is coming to tell you that the Nazir, even though somebody else brought the carbon for him, he is the one that does Tamura on that carbon. Meaning it's called his carbon, even though somebody else was mafresh the carbon for him. V'ochi kama, af b'shif rishu lo yacherim, oiset Mura. Sh'ma mino bosom miskaper azlina. Kapara. Okay, so now the Gemara says no. Linyan kapara. Yilach matana dekayov lina lay. Present. Yilav the Rabbi Rachman and Mavada Shatasa Yadai. If the Torah wouldn't have explained for the Nazir to be caught. For my grain, I have the right to give it to whichever kohen I want. Remember, we had that discussion earlier. If Reuven takes from his truah on Shimon, he has the right to give the truma to the kohen he wants. Is that the miskaper is the one that does tamura. We thought we had a pasuk. So we thought we had a pasuk. Because we wanted to use the pasuk of nazir. The fact that the Torah calls the nazir his korban, the korban that somebody else separated for him. What was the chiddush of the Torah? The Torah was coming to say you could do tamura. The conclusion of the Gemara is no. That pasuk is coming to tell you the actual din, that you could be mafresh a korban for a nazir. That's what the Torah was telling. What's the Chiddush? He said, the Chiddush is, you would think the Nazir has to bring his own carbon from his own money. Kamashman, he does not. So now we're back to no Pasuk. Still in all, we're back with the Maskana that we had, which is that the Miskaper is the one that does Tamur. Now, the question is, why? Now it's all logical. If it'll be Psukim, so I rest my case. By Choymesh, there's a Gzeres HaKosuv that the Makdash adds the. And by Tmura, there's a Gzeres HaKosuv we learned from Nazir that the Miskaper does Tmura. So I have no problem. Kol Tuv. Problem is that the Maskan of the Gemara is that there is no Pasuk. All we know is that we normally go by the Makdish. The Torah says Makdish. He's the one that adds the Chaymish. By Tmura, we go by the Miskaper. Why? Why do we go by the Miskaper? Logic dictates that the Makdish is the one that should be able to do Tmura. That's First of all, that's logic dictates, because that's how we see the Chaimish. When we talk about the Chaimish, we want to know who the owner is. We go by the one that was Makdash it. That's number one. Number two, we had a Mishnah earlier on him. Clearly, that we go by where the Hekdash originated. If you remember, by Bechor, we said the Kohen can't do Tamura, because the Kedusha didn't happen by the Kohen, it happened by the Yisrael. So we see we normally go by where it originated, right? And number three, L'chayra Tamura is a monetary issue. It should go by whoever's money this was. The one that was Makdash it. He's the one that should have this ability. And yet, there's no Pesukim. And for some reason, the Gemara says the Makdash is the one that is considered the owner, L'gabi Chaimish, but L'gabi Tamura, it's not the Makdash. It's the Meskid. That's what the Gemara says. So we have to know why that is. One way to learn is that when it comes to carbon, nobody really owns a carbon. It belongs to Shemayim. And therefore, this is already Reb Chaim Brisk says in many different places, this concept, that when it comes to a carbon, the strongest ownership is the one that's getting a kapora. Because it's on he that the Torah, what's my connection to this oiler? I don't own it. I can't makadish a woman with it. It's not mine. My connection to this oiler is that it's fulfilling my obligation. I have an obligation to bring an oiler. By me bringing this animal, my obligation is fulfilled. That's the logic. That's the most logical way to... So therefore, says Reb Chaim says this, L'gabi Bovakama, L'gabi the Gemara, where the Gemara says, we just had that in the Daf Yomi. Somebody goes and steals a carbon from Ruvain and brings it for Ruvain. Chazor Karen Labailam. The Bailam are getting everything back, because that's the main thing. What they need from the carbon should be brought for them. No problem. You're bringing my carbon for me. Perfect. Beautiful. No problem. Chazor Karen Labailam. So that would be the problem we have, is that the Gemara says clearly in Zevachim that a Yerush is the one that does Tamura on his father's carbon, even though he doesn't really get a kapara. He gets what they call a kufyadika kapara. He doesn't really get a kapara from the carbon. He has no obligation to bring the carbon. And still, we look at him as the one, the owner for Tamura. So we see, obviously, for some reason, Tamura has a different measuring stick when it comes to ownership than the Chaimish does. The question is why. So I want to... What? That's something else. That's a special Gezeres HaKosov. Right? That's Odo Megaleach Al Nazir Zoviv. But that's a Pasuk. Without the Pasuk, that wouldn't be the Halach. Normally you can't. If you're Chayiv in oil, you can't bring your father's oil, your grandfather's oil. Okay. So I think in order to get some clarity here, we got to go back to the Yisrael that we discussed last week, which is that there were two different ways to view Tamura. And this is really the whole concept, the whole mahus of what Tamura is. There were two ways to view Tamura. One way to view Tamura is the way we spoke on Shabbos to Hakamas HaMishkan. Hakamas HaMishkan, you know, really nobody put up the Mishkan. That's why it uses the Lashon, Hukam HaMishkan. The Medrash Tanchuma says that nobody was able to put up the Mishkan. Hashem told Moshe, you make with your hands, and I'm going to put up the Mishkan. Right? That's the way the Mishkan went up. So one way to look at Tamura is, you know, you can have a Makdish, you can have a Miskaper, you have a Meimir. These are all just, they're all playing games. The Torah is going and making this thing Tamura. Really, you're trying to take a Kedusha off animal A and put on animal B. Really, you totally failed. You're in failure. The Torah came and the Torah said, because you attempted to do such an Isser, we, the Torah, are putting Kedusha onto animal B. What you just attempted to do was zero. It was a brachal of Atol. You did nothing. All you did was you did an Avera. The Avera is the attempt to take Kedusha A and put onto animal B. That's one way to learn. The other way to learn is no. Actually, your attempt worked. There's an Isser to take Kedusha from animal A and to put onto animal B. And actually, you succeeded. You took Kedusha off animal A and you put it onto animal B. You did it. The Torah comes and the Torah says, you know what? Now that you did that Isser, the Torah is reinstating the Kedusha on animal A. So animal A now has a new kedusha. V'hoyahu t'morosa yi akredish. The Torah is machadish, the kedusha on the original animal. Really, the kedusha of the original animal you took off, and this went back on. And we said the Achiezer of Chaim Moisa also that that's maybe the way t'mura operates, possibly. Some understand it that way. And we wanted to base it on a machloikis amaroya. Whether we consider t'mura by Maisa. There's a machloikis in the Gemara and Dav Gimel that we call t'mura lav sheyesh by Maisa or lav sheim by Maisa. If, I want to say very simple, the reason why it would be called a lav sheyesh by Maisa is because the burei ka'ovid Maisa, because through your words you activated something. You did something. So we said very simple. If you learn that the Kedusha on animal A stays the way it was originally, and the Kedusha on animal B is what happens to Abishta puts Kedusha on the animal B, and what does it mean by the Burei Kamaisa? You did nothing. The error was to try to take Kedusha off animal A, and you didn't do that. Why would it be called a Lav Sheyesh Maisa? That's why the Gemara brings down that Tmur is a Lav Sheyim Maisa. But then Rav Yechanan pops up in the Gemara, and he says, Loitisni Meimar. Meimar is not a lav shein b'maisa, Meimar is a lav sheyesh b'maisa. Why? Because with your words, you did something. So what do we see from Rav Yechanan? That the Kedusha does go off animal A. He can't just mean that the Kedusha goes on to animal B, because that's not an Avera. The Avera is trying to take Kedusha off animal A. There's nothing wrong with saying animal B should have Kedusha. So therefore, we see from Rav Yechanan that it is chal. And we said that would follow straight to Abugya. It's the same thing. When you go to the animal, you say it should be Tmura, you're taking Kedusha off animal A, you're putting it onto animal B. It's clear. And that's why Rav Yochanan holds that it's potentially possible to say that animal A becomes stigmatized. That was a whole question. Why stigmatize? There's nothing to stigmatize. And the answer is, absolutely, there is what to stigmatize. Because animal A has lost its Kedusha. And animal A has been replaced with what we call a Tmura Kedusha. And Tmura can't make Tmura. Rish Lakish is trying. Animal A is not a Tmura character. It's a regular original character. Animal A, nothing changed about it. Exact animal that it was from Bereshis Bara. Rav Yechanan says no. Rav Yechanan Lishitase says no. Animal A did change its character. Right now, animal A has been permanently stigmatized. Tmura. Because the Kedusha that it got is a new Kedusha that the Torah put on it, which we call it Kedushas Tmura. And therefore, animal A is stigmatized, and you cannot make Tmura from animal A anymore. And that's Rav Yechanan's reasoning. And Mamish goes Lishitase. Mamish, the way he works, In Daf Gimel, that's exactly what he's saying over here on Daf Tes. The same svar that Rav Yechanan is saying. Now, Rabovin is using that same. Now, I want to point out one other nakuda. Really, the way we learn Rav Yechanan, is paskening this way. So why is, I don't know if you guys thought of that. I assume you did think of this. So the way I'm learning, why is this only according to Rav Shimon? According to the Chachamim, it shall be the same problem. And the answer is absolutely. According to the Chachamim, it is. That's why they needed a new pasuk. That was a whole kasha. Why the Chachamim needed a pasuk? Because since it's a new kedusha, so therefore without a new pasuk, you wouldn't be able to keep doing tomorrow. You need a pasuk to tell you that this works. It's a new pasuk. Without the pasuk, it wouldn't keep on working. It's Xeris HaKosov. Then it works. Behema Rabba. Without the pasuk, it wouldn't work. Because of Rav Yechanan Svar. Rabovin says, if that's the case, that there's some kind of new Kedusha in the world called Kedusha, that Kedusha is the problem. That new kind of Kedusha doesn't do Tumura. He says, and I can argue, hey, I don't care where that Kedusha goes. It's not a stigma on the animal, it's a stigma on the Kedusha. Right? So now that Kedusha is stigmatized. That Kedusha now goes on to the new carbon. That kedusha has a problem. That's not a kedusha that a person gave. Now, when that carbon now turns into an oila, it's also a tmura kedusha that turned into an oila. It's not a. It's what makes an oshim into an oila. The Torah makes a gzeres hakosov that the tmura kedusha, that the oshim kedusha, turns into an oila. But dayil abomin adin liyas kenidin. The kedusha's oila doesn't have more strength than the kedusha's oshim that it came from, which was stigmatized. That kedusha's oila already has a chsaron in it. There's no tchias hamesim to that. Now that there's a gzeres hakosov that kedusha transfers to an oila. Okay? So I don't care how many shinuyim you're going to make, you're still left with that lack of Kedusha's Adam. The Kedusha's Oila, if anything, the Kedusha's Oila is completely new. I can argue and tell you like this. Every Osham, listen to this, every Osham Shinitik Luria, forget our whole complicated case with the three animals, regular case, Mafrisha Korban Osham. And the Korban Osham gets lost. And I mafresh another usher. And I bring it. And then I find the original. The original turns into an oil. I can argue and tell you, can't do it tomorrow. You know why? There's a new oil in it. That's not a Kedusha's Adam. That's not a Kedusha's Adam. That's a Kedusha from Shemayim. That's an oil. The Torah says no. The Torah takes the Kedusha's Asham and says that the Kedusha's Asham has in it the ability to transform into a carbon oil. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do tmura to begin with. It's like a Pesach. Moise Pesach Shlomim. Yeah? That means if I make something into a carbon Pesach, and Pesach goes by and it was never brought, it automatically turns into a Shlomim. Could you do tmura on that? Yes. Why? It's a Shlomim. It's not the original Kedusha. Yeah, but it's the original Kedusha's Pesach that transferred into a Kedusha Shlomim. Right? But if the original Kedusha's Pesach wasn't Bidei Adam, so this came Dayil Abom and Adin Liyas Kenidin. It still has the Shvachkeit that it Yarshin from the original. That's Pshat and Rav Ovin. That's Rav Ovin Shaila. And therefore, Rav Ovin declares that maybe you still can't do Tmura. Even with everything going with it, still can't do Tmura. Now, one second, let's just go to Makdash and Miskaper. If Tmura would not be our first way of learning, when you go to animal A, and you say the Kedusha should go to animal B, let us say that the Kedusha of animal A never goes off. We said according to Rav Yochanan, it does. It goes from animal A onto animal B, and then animal A gets reinstated. Let's say that doesn't happen. Let's say that does not happen. So what happens is a new Gzeres HaKosov, that animal B gets Kedusha. The Torah doesn't. What is the Torah doing then? What is the Torah doing? If the Torah is not taking the Kedusha off this animal, what is the Torah? The Torah obviously is connecting it to this animal, somehow. What is it connecting it to? You know what it's connecting it to? The original. When you originally said, HaRezeh Oila, that original HaRezeh Oila goes on this too. The Torah goes and takes the original Kedusha. It doesn't take it off. Takes the original Kedusha, puts it on this. It's as though you were Makdash two animals. When you originally were Makdash the first animal, it's as though you makdish two animals. Now, if you hold that the Kedusha goes off animal A and goes on to animal B, really, it's not affecting anything that was here till now. It's only affecting from here on. In other words, you're taking the Kedusha that's here today and you're transferring it onto animal B. Then the Torah comes and reinstates it. It's a big difference. If you're attaching the Tmura to the original, then Avada the Makdash is the one. When you redeem an animal, what are you redeeming? You're redeeming the original Kedusha that you were Makdash, you're redeeming. That's why Makdash Moisif Chaymish. You're the one that made the original Kedusha. You're the one that has to add a Chaymish. But Tmura is different, logically. Because Tmura, you're taking off the Kedusha today. Who is affected by the Korban's Kedusha as of today? Not the Makdish, the Miskaper. The Makdish has nothing to do with the animals ultimately, what's going to happen with this animal. And therefore, he's not the decisor. He can't decide that the Kedusha should go off tomorrow. Because his connection to the Korban is where it came from, not where it's going. And the Tmura is where it's going. And that's why the logic is that the Miskaper is the one that has that ability, not the Makdish. That's why our Gemara right away says that even though the Makdish is the one, That's Mois Chaymish. That's all looking at the original condition. When you're looking at Tmura, where you're looking now to change the status of the animal for tomorrow, that goes by the Miskapin. That's the logic. It goes by the one who's taking over. Who's the one that's going to use this animal for an oil or not? The one who's getting the kapara. That's why logic dictates it should be him. He's the one that has that ability. Only he has that ability. But we have a different problem. We have a problem that Lamaisa, the Kedusha, has to originate by you in order for you to be able to do Tmura. So even though logic dictates you should be the one, but we have a different issue. The Teretz is, when I am Makdash Korban for you to get a Kapara, I'm doing it Bishlichotcha. You're chayiv to bring a Korban, not me. So when I'm Makdash the Korban, I'm being Makdash it from day one that you should get a Kapara. Since I'm being Makdash it Bishlichotcha, it's as though the Kedusha was chal by you. Different than a Kohen. A Kohen can't do Tmura on a Bechor because the Kedusha didn't happen by him. It happened by the Yisrael. But by the Makdash Miskaper, it's different. Because the Makdash started the whole Kedusha off in order that the Yisrael should get, the guy should get a Kapara. Therefore, that's why the Gemara uses the terminology Shlichus. That was our whole question. If we're talking about the Makdash's animal, what does he need the Shlichus of the other guy? He needs the Shlichus of the other guy, because otherwise it wouldn't be considered that it originated, the Kedusha originated for this guy's Tachlis. And there's another condition by Tmura. We took care of the problem from here on. From here on, it's you. You're the Miskaper. You're the main guy. But what about the fact that you need the Kedusha should be by you from the beginning? For that, it helps that he did it Bishlichuscha. That's why the Gemara uses the Lashon Shlichus. So this whole sugi from beginning to end ties into this one point of whether Tmura is a new Kedusha or Tmura really is the Kedusha that was taken off animal A and put onto animal B. And if the Kedusha was taken off from animal A and put onto animal B, then Taka, the original behemoth that has Kedusha, that's a new Kedusha. And that Kedusha has all the chesroinus of a Tmura Kedusha and stay with it forever. That's really, I think, that ties in the whole Indian. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, next week, we're gonna go. And I just want to give the Elam what to look up. You should go through the Sugya, to the Mishnah on Daf Yud. Of Ein Mimirin, and if possible, to at least to get up to the sugya to Anomad Beis Eisvei Rav Yirmiel or Rav Zera. At least to that part of the sugya, and I will give you some Ma'ar Mekaymus to look up. I'd like you to look up the sugya of Andaf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph Omar Abaya Tam B'mei Tmima Divrei HaKol Kedishi, and also to look on Rashi later on Andaf Yud Zayin Divrei HaMaschel B'Vladei Kedoshim. We'll try to post it in Mitzvah Shem also on the and also the Rambam in Perek Dalet in Hilchas Tmura. And the Kiryas Sefer over there in the beginning of Perek Dalet Hilchas Tmura. I think that would be it for today. You know, one other Rambam, if there's time. Rambam in Hilchas Shechita, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Yud. Agutavach.